Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Joining us once again from Rio de Janeiro with an update on preparations for the Olympics in August is our friend Luis Piazzet. Sporty Olympic greetings, Luis.
Sporty Olympic greetings, Sonny. If there is a country where joke is almost a religion, is Brazil, for good and for bad. 4 months to go for the Olympics in Rio, the first time a Latin American city will host a big sports event. We don't hear ordinary people talking about it. Eyes and ears are turned to the problems the country is facing. Deep in the most severe recession since 1930 and displaying a series of corruption scandals at the very heart of the government and in the political parties. A clumsy preparation for the Olympics where the City Hall, the State of Rio and the federal governor are behind schedule or lacking fulfilling promised arrangements, including surpassing the initial budget several times. What we start to hear are bad jokes like, will former President Lula escape to Italy before or after Olympics? This is because during his terms, years ago, he ordered his diplomacy staff to arrange Italian citizenship for his wife and sons. She doesn't speak Italian but has a remote Italian traces in a family branch. Nowadays they can even vote in Italy. About the pressure for results, on the preparation of the city for the Olympics, the mayor said this week past that we should be patient and should not compare Rio with London, Chicago, or Tokyo, cities with older and well-done infrastructure in place. As he said a year ago, using the image of a banana versus an apple, if it was a joke, we still don't get it. One thing is not a joke. The Security Secretary of the State of Rio just announced a cut of 35% of the yearly budget. It includes layoff of staff, cutting logistics, communication, and facilities maintenance. City of Rio de Janeiro is of course famous for many things on top of being a joke temple. Its breathtaking views, beaches, and so many attractions. It is also home to a vibrant black culture because it is strong influence from Africa. Samba, for instance, is a tropical adaptation of African music styles and percussion tradition. Then there was the evolution, or again, influence from Afro-American, soul, funk, and R&B. We bring this up because one of the open ceremony show for the Olympics will be a performance of the Rio's Charm Dance, a collective dance performed under overpass of highways in the outskirts of Rio. All these parties, when we hear the latest sounds of Chris Brown and Beyoncé, as well as Michael Jackson, James Brown, and everyone in between.
I feel good!
One thing for sure, the Olympic Games in Rio will be full of music diversity. Now, it will also be the return of rugby to the Olympic program after 92 years. Rugby is growing in Brazil as a new craze. You see teams play in the Flamengo, Copacabana, and Ipanema beaches. And again, the climax is the Haka war chant and dance. Rugby has the right stuff to be a major hit as this year's Olympic Games. The organizers are betting so much on this that they produced a video guide on how to be a rugby fan, including top tips to get yourself fancy dress. What the organizers are saying is that the Olympics will be a big party. Or, don't take it too serious. So much for jokes. We'll see. This is Luis Piazet for the Sunny Side of Sports.
Hello, sports fans. This is Sonny Young of the Sunny Side of Sports.
Can't get enough of the Sunny Side of Sports? Well, we've solved that problem. We now have a half hour of sports talk and news Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC GMT. So visit voanews.com for more details and enjoy the show.
Thanks, Joe. That's Joe DiCapua, the managing editor of the Voice of America's Africa News Tonight radio show. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is David Legg, our African football guru. Good evening, David.
Good evening, Sonny, and good evening to all the football lovers around the continent.
David, an intense seven-day period of Africa Cup of Nations qualifying has concluded across the continent. Can you give us a few of the biggest headlines?
Certainly, Sonny. Morocco have become the first qualifiers for the 2017 finals in Gabon. Egypt have beaten Nigeria 1-0 in Alexandria. And that means that Egypt are within 1 point of qualifying and Nigeria are eliminated. Liberia are on the crest of a wave. They hammered Djibouti 5-0 with a hat-trick from William Jebor. And they are now looking at a first appearance in the finals in 14 years. Way back in 2002, George Weah was the captain of the last Liberian team to qualify.
David, let's go group by group now and get some of your analysis. And let's begin with Group A, David. How about the results?
The results, Sonny, Togo 0, Tunisia 0, and Liberia 5, Djibouti 0. What this means is Liberia have got 9 points after four rounds, Tunisia and Togo 7 each, and Djibouti 0. Now, in this group, it was widely expected that Tunisia would dominate and that Togo would be their closest challengers. But in fact, it's Liberia, the lone stars from the heart of West Africa, who are stealing the show. They've got 3 victories in 4 games, and dare I say it, shades of the great George Weah coming back to life. In 1996 and in 2002, Weah was the star of the team that qualified for the finals, but since then, the Liberians have never made it. And now, thanks to this 5-0 victory, they've got a 2-point advantage, and with 2 games left for them, and they will be away to Tunisia and at home to Togo. If they can take maximum points from those 2 games, the lone stars will be in the finals for the first time in 14 years.
And David, let's give an official Sunny Side of Sports salute to William Jebor. You mentioned him with the hat trick. I think we might see a few more goals from him. What do you think, David?
Yes, Sonny, and this is not his first hat trick. Voice of America listeners will remember that he scored a hat trick last October when Liberia beat Guinea-Bissau 3-1 in Bissau in a World Cup qualifier. He's actually worked with a Portuguese club, but he's on loan to a Spanish team. And he's clearly a sharpshooter to watch, Sonny. That's 2 hat-tricks in 2 different competitions in Africa. William Jebor.
Let's turn to Group B now, David. And how about the results?
The results here, Sonny. Central African Republic 2, Madagascar 1. And Angola 0, Democratic Republic of Congo 2. Democratic Republic of Congo have 9 points, CAR 7, Angola 4, and Madagascar 2. And in my opinion, Sonny, it's now a 2-horse race between the Congolese and the Central African Republic. And it's really great to see the Central African Republic challenging for what would be a first appearance at the finals. Boy, that country has had its fair share of problems down the years. In fact, they often have to play their home games away because of ethnic violence in the country. But of late, they've been able to play in the capital, Bangui, and it makes such a difference to this team. They beat Congo 2-0, and now they've beaten the Malagasy's 2-1. But unfortunately, the Congolese went to Angola and won 2-0, and that means that they've got that 2-point advantage. Kimwaki late in the first half, and Bolingi right at the death of the game scored for the Congolese. And the bronze medalists in 2015 must now be favourites to go to the finals, especially as they will have home advantage over the Central African Republic in the final round of qualifiers come September.
Turning to Group C, David, the Eagles of Mali topped the table. How about the results?
Benin 4, South Sudan 1, and Equatorial Guinea 0, Mali 1. Mali are becoming masters of these narrow victories, Sonny. They beat Equatorial Guinea 1-0 at home and away. And what that means is a two-point lead in the group from Benin. And really, it's a two-horse race. And why I feel Mali will qualify from this group is that they will have home advantage over Benin in the final round of qualifiers. It's significant that Equatorial Guinea, who finished fourth as hosts in 2015, they've managed just 1 point out of a possible 12, and they became the first team to be officially eliminated from the competition. So from fourth in 2015 to being eliminated with two rounds still to go in 2016, quite a dramatic fall, I think you'll agree.
Let's turn to Group D now, David. Tight table here. How about the results?
You're quite right, Sonny. The results first, Botswana 2, Comores 1, and Uganda 0, Burkina Faso 0. And tight it is indeed. Burkina Faso and Uganda level on 7 points each. Burkina Faso ahead on head-to-head records. And Botswana will feel that they've still got a chance. They've got 6 points. The Comores have got just 3. How often, Sonny, on your show have we spoken about Uganda and the fact that they have not qualified for the final since 1978, when, incidentally, they went all the way to the final and lost 2-0 to the host country, Ghana. Since then, it's been a case of snatching defeat from the jaws of victory time after time after time. And I'm afraid, I fear, history is going to repeat itself. Uganda were looking good going into these two matches against Burkina Faso, but they lost 1-0 in Ouagadougou and wasted several good chances in Kampala when held to a 0-0 draw. And now you've got to say advantage Burkina Faso with two rounds left. Uganda's big hope, I suppose, is to try and win the last two games. And if then they don't win the group, at least they would qualify as one of the two best runners-up. I just have a sense, though, Sonny, that once again, it's going to be so near and so far for the Ugandan Cranes.
Let's turn to Group E now, David. Another tight group. How about the results?
Yeah, Sonny, this group is just about unbelievable. Kenya 0, Guinea-Bissau 1, and Congo-Brazzaville 1, Zambia 1. And the table, and I'm not reading this upside down, I want to assure all our listeners, is Guinea-Bissau on top with 7 points, Congo's got 6, Zambia got 6, and Kenya have just got a miserable 1 point. Now, Guinea-Bissau are one of the whipping boys of African football. They're ranked much closer to the bottom of the table than the top, and they don't normally make an impact in the Cup of Nations or the World Cup competitions. But boy, have they made an impact in this competition, beating the Kenyans twice. It was bad enough for Kenya to suffer a 1-0 defeat in Bissau, but then at home they suffered another 1-0 defeat. And when a disputed goal was scored by Guinea-Bissau, 7 minutes from the end, all hell broke loose at the Nyayo National Stadium in Nairobi, and police had to fire tear gas to disperse angry fans. I do despair at times about Kenyan football. I watch them create chance after chance after chance, and they miss each one of them. Not to score a single goal against Guinea-Bissau in 180 minutes is a record that the new Kenyan coach, Samuel Okuti, will not be very proud of. And needless to say, Kenya have got absolutely no chance now of qualifying. Guinea-Bissau, 2 matches left. They host Zambia in June, and then they visit Congo-Brazzaville in September. And what the Guinea-Bissauans will no doubt be hoping for is that if they can beat the Zambians and Kenya can do them a huge favor by beating Congo, Guinea-Bissau, for the first time in their history, will go to the Cup of Nations finals.
David, the Kenyans likely to face sanctions from the Confederation of African Football. What type of penalty might they receive for that rioting?
I watched some of the action, so to speak, after the goal was scored. And incidentally, it was a legitimate goal from the angle that I saw. And it really got ugly. The Kenyan supporters were absolutely furious, pelting missiles onto the pitch. I feel that they could well be fined and also, and this can be quite an effective deterrent to other teams, forced to play several competitive internationals behind closed doors, which, of course, always hits hard at the coffers of the National Football Associations. This, unfortunately, Sonny, was one of several incidents that brought shame to African football.
In Group F, David, the Atlas Lions of Morocco booked their ticket to Gabon 2017. Maximum 12 points from 4 matches. How about the results?
Yes, Sonny, Morocco 2, Cape Verde 0, and Libya 4, Sao Tome e Principe 0. The table, Morocco 12 points, the first team to qualify for the 2017 finals. Cape Verde have got 6 points, Libya and Sao Tome with 3 each. Well, Sonny, we said it on your show many times. Herb Renard, the Frenchman, has got the magic touch when it comes to Africa. Ironically, he's not able to be successful in Europe. He's gone to 2 French clubs. The first one was relegated, and the second one fired him recently. But in Africa, he just seems to have a special touch. He led Minos Zambia to the title in 2012, and he led underachieving Ivory Coast to the title in 2015. And dare I say it, could he complete a hat-trick in 2017 with Morocco? Youssef El Arabi is the other toast of Morocco at the moment. He scored a lone goal when Morocco won away to Cape Verde, and now he has scored a brace, including one from the penalty spot, in a 2-0 home victory. We've also suggested on the Sunny Side of Sport that perhaps Cape Verde, despite what FIFA say, are not the number one ranked team in Africa. They're just not the best national side, in my opinion. And I believe, Sonny, these 2 results against Morocco confirm that. And my message to all our listeners across the continent is watch out for Morocco. I see this team getting stronger and stronger. I think they're going to be real challengers for the Cup of Nations title, which, incidentally, they've only won once. And that was way back in 1976 in Ethiopia, when the final stages of the competition were not played on a knockout basis, but rather on a mini-league basis. And Morocco drew their final game against Guinea-Conakry 1-1 to finish on top of the table. So, yes, Sonny, let's keep a close eye on Morocco now that they're under the tutelage of the magician, Herb Renard.
We'll keep a close eye on the magician, Herb Renard, David, and those Atlas Lions from Morocco. That's David Legg, our African football guru, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa. And we'll hear more soccer-licious commentary from David in the days to come, right here on the Sunny Side of Sports. Here's a Sunny Side of Sports salute to head coach Jurgen Klinsmann and the U.S. men's national soccer team. Klinsmann and the USA team, well, they've been under fire recently after a 2-0 loss to host Guatemala 5 days ago in Guatemala City in a 2018 World Cup qualifying match. But the USA bounced back and got their World Cup campaign back on track Tuesday night when they scored a convincing 4-0 victory over the visiting Guatemalans in Columbus, Ohio. Jeff Cameron was instrumental in the first 2 goals, helping set up Clint Dempsey's strike in the 12th minute and heading in Michael Bradley's free kick in the 35th minute. Graham Zusi and Josie Altidore scored second-half goals for the Americans, who overtook Guatemala for second place in their 4-team World Cup qualifying group. Trinidad and Tobago remained in first place after routing St. Vincent and the Grenadines 6-0. The top 2 teams will advance to a six-nation final qualifying round later this year in the CONCACAF region. Speaking after the victory, USA coach Klinsmann said it was a perfect way to respond to the disappointment of a few days ago in Guatemala. Elsewhere in football, host Portugal beat world number 1 Belgium Tuesday 2-1 in a high-profile friendly match. First half goals from Nani and Cristiano Ronaldo gave the Portuguese the win. The game was moved from Brussels to Liria after the attacks in the Belgian capital that killed more than 30 people. In Munich, host Germany beat Italy 4-1 in another big friendly. It was Germany's first win over the Italians in more than 20 years. In other results, the Netherlands beat host England in London 2-1. Host Scotland defeated Denmark 1-0 in Glasgow on a goal by Matt Ritchie in the 8th minute. And in Paris, France beat 2018 World Cup host Russia 4-2. Joining us once again on the sunny side of sports is Andrew Palcheski, the voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be with you.
Andrew, what's trending in the sports world on this Wednesday?
Well, two of those soccer matches that you just mentioned are trending. I'll start with the one in Portugal between Portugal and Belgium. Now, that match, of course, was supposed to be played on the day of the attacks in Brussels, so it was postponed. But a lot of people on social media talking about the unity that was displayed at that match. Both teams walked out at the same time. There was a moment of silence. A lot of nice signs in the crowd in support of Brussels and of Belgium. Belgium unfortunately lost the match, but really a nice show of support and cataloged across social media.
Yeah, very nice gesture. And Cristiano Ronaldo once again making headlines.
Yep, he's always making headlines on the soccer pitch, but also, as we've talked about on the show, off the pitch, he's involved with fashion, very heavy social media user, one of the top social media users in all of athletics, aside from football. So he, of course, is always making a splash on social media. Also making a splash on social media, another match that you referenced between the United States of America and Guatemala. People saying, of course, that it is a big win and a big step forward for the U.S. in their goal to qualify for the World Cup, but that there's also a worrying future for the team, partially because of some of these matches that they've lost where they should have won, and partially, people say, because of Jurgen Klinsmann, the coach. Now, it was interesting, when you see these matches on social media, you kind of get the behind the scenes that you don't necessarily see on television.
Right.
And case in point, we saw hashtag fire Klinsmann. Somebody had a plane that they flew with a banner over the stadium in Columbus that had a message to Jurgen Klinsmann saying, you should step down or you should be fired. So people were sharing those pictures on social media and that hashtag developed. And they shared those pictures with that hashtag. But you get to see some of the things behind the scenes, and you get some of the opinions of the fans behind the scenes as well.
Jurgen Klinsmann, relatively unique in world football in that his contract was renewed for a second World Cup qualifying cycle. It's not often that you see a coach last for more than 3 or 4 years in world football. Klinsmann could go 8 with the Americans.
And I think that's worrying some people on social media. They're certainly expressing that opinion loudly, whether it be via a banner on the back of a plane or just by tweeting out in 140 characters. There's a lot of concern.
What else is trending in the sports world, Andrew?
Well, some tech innovation is coming to the ballpark because Major League Baseball here in the U.S. is teaming up with Apple to put iPads in the dugouts of the teams, giving coaches access to the MLB app where they can access scouting reports and other information to try to help their team succeed. Very interesting, very fascinating use of technology in sports. We've seen other leagues do this. We've seen the National Football League use Microsoft's products and their tablets. In fact, somebody tweeted out, they said, okay, let's take a vote. MLB and Apple or NFL and Microsoft? Who do we think is going to do a better job with this? So already people are comparing the two, and people are already suggesting that the iPads could be hacked, and they're wondering which team is going to go in and try to hack the iPads and try to get this information. But it shows how integral technology is to the sports world, not just through the fans, but for the athletes and the coaches for statistical information and that kind of thing. So it'll be interesting to see how this gets used, if we see a lot of product placement with Apple in the dugouts in the Major League ballparks and how that works.
And from a general sporting perspective, Major League Baseball, perhaps more than any other sport, just thrives on statistics, batting averages, putting in a left-handed pitcher against a left-handed hitter, all of that. And I'm sure they'll have computer programs on those iPads for that.
Well, I always laugh when I watch baseball games and they say, okay, well, this team does best when they have a left-handed batter, but it's a Tuesday after a doubleheader in a month. That, you know, they have such statistical information, like you said, and they distill it down so deeply. And it is hard to keep track of a lot of that. So I'm curious to see if teams, after this technology gets started, come out and say, wow, this is really improving how we're keeping our records and how we're managing our teams, and if the teams have any benefit from that.
And opening day just around the corner, I think.
With my New York Mets playing the Kansas City Royals, trying to take revenge for the World Series last year. So that'll be a hot topic coming up this week to talk about the Mets for sure.
Andrew Palcheski, the voice of America's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, Sonny.
And that wraps up the March 30th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger, VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff, and thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, And that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
For the first time, the United States is working with the naval forces of Gulf of Guinea nations in a joint exercise to improve the region's preparedness and capability to combat piracy, narcotics trafficking, and other maritime threats. The combined exercise, Oban Game Saharan Express 2016, was officially launched on March 17, 2016, at Senegalese National Marine Naval Base by authorities of the participating and observing countries. Cameroon is the official host of the exercise, with elements of the exercise taking place in other participating countries. The northernmost hub of the exercise, Senegal, was chosen to host the opening ceremony. The ceremony was presided over by U.S. Embassy Chargé d'Affaires Sandra Clark, Chief of Staff of the Senegalese Navy Rear Admiral Chekbar Osisoko, and the Commander U.S. 6th Fleet Vice Admiral James Fogo. Exercise Oban Game Saharan Express is a multinational maritime exercise sponsored by U.S. Africa Command and facilitated by U.S. Naval Forces Europe Africa U.S. 6th Fleet that brings together African, European, South American, and U.S. forces, part of a global network of navies, to enhance cooperation and expertise in maritime security operations. The exercise will take place throughout the Gulf of Guinea and will have land-based maritime operations centers throughout the region. In the past, Oban Game Express and Saharan Express were separate exercises that took place in different areas of West Africa. This year, they have been combined to increase capacity building for more partners across West Africa. There are 27 participating nations in Oban Game Saharan Express 2016. Angola, Benin, Belgium, Brazil, Cameroon, Cabo Verde, Côte d'Ivoire, Democratic Republic of Congo, Denmark, Equatorial Guinea, France, Gabon, Germany, Ghana, Morocco, the Netherlands, Nigeria, Portugal, Republic of Congo, Sao Tome and Principe, Senegal, South Africa, Spain, Togo, Turkey, United States, and the United Kingdom, as well as the Economic Community of West African States and the Economic Community of Central African States. This Oban Game Saharan Express 2016 exercise ended with a symposium in Douala, Cameroon. The United States is proud to work with its international partners to keep the seaways to Africa open and safe for the benefit of all the peoples of Africa.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Next on Straight Talk Africa. We will talk about the empowerment of women. Is it a myth or reality? Tune in to Straight Talk Africa Wednesday at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bungani in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Can't AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing. So definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at UpfrontAfrica.